Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Woohoo! I'm in the Hall of Fame, baby. I want to thank the Hall of Fame, the Senior Selection Committee, the Chicago Bears, and all the fans. The best fans in the world and the best city to play football in. I played 15 years in the NFL and loved every minute of every down. I played with the greatest players in the NFL and the greatest defense to this day, baby.
To the city and the fans of Chicago, I know you guys didn't draft me, but when I came there, you treated me like I was one of your own, and I appreciate that. So it's always bear down.
Then there was the Chicago Bears. Thank you for drafting me and giving me 8 great years in this game. You didn't know what you're getting yourself into, but you believe that you had something special coming your way.
You're listening to Rami Makhlouf on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Chills. I got chills right now. Good job by Alex Kuhn, producer of this fine program. I am Rami Makhlouf. I'll be with you until 3 p.m. You're always welcome to get in on the show. You can drop me a text or give me a call at 312-644-6767. I'll also be joined by Howard Balzer, Hall of Fame selector and co-host of the weekly Hall of Fame radio show on Sirius XM. He's going to join me in just a little bit, about 12:20. Bruce Levine, Score Baseball Insider, will be here at 1 o'clock. And Mark Grody, the Score Bears reporter, he'll join me from Bears practice coming up at 2 o'clock. And lots of Bears over the next 3 hours. A little baseball peppered in throughout the show as well. But obviously, we got to start with what went down in Canton yesterday. And it was a lot of blue and orange in Canton at the Hall of Fame inductions. And all those guys deserve their flowers, so to speak. And we're going to give a little love and appreciation and play back a little bit of all three guys who wore a Bears uniform and, yesterday wore a gold jacket as they were inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But I think the guy who has gotten the most love and the most spotlight throughout this process, and rightly so, has been Steve Mongo McMichael. And just before I get into my thoughts on the whole thing and how I feel and my experiences with Mongo, here was Jared Payton, son of Walter Payton, who calls Steve McMichael his uncle, introducing Mongo yesterday at the Pro Football Hall of Fame ceremonies.
The Bears' Monsters of the Midway defense lives on in NFL lore. And Steve McMichael was its heart and soul.
Around, he's hit by Steve McMichael and brought down.
1985, the Bears were prepped to go on a Super Bowl run, but Steve really was the special sauce on that 46 defense.
And down he goes! Steve McMichael on the sack!
His ability to use his strength, his speed, his quickness, really set the tone for what the Bears did in 85 and the success that they had as a defense. Always cleaning up for everybody else, always making everybody else look good, but also making plays. And doing it with a smile on his face and an intensity that the game has never seen before.
Mongo played in a Bears franchise record 191 straight games, racking up 92 and a half sacks and earning 2 first-team All-Pro nods.
The way he was able to use all of his abilities to be able to fight off tackles, to stop the run.
Steve McMichael on the hit!
But Steve was asked to do more than that. He was not just a run stuffer. He was also one of the best interior linemen to get after the quarterback.
Barr sets up short. Get him. He's hit on the play. There he goes. Steve McMichael with the sack.
Steve McMichael was a force of nature. But the only thing bigger than his personality was his heart. I think sometimes you have to wait for your moment. But when it comes, the joy, the happiness, all the hard work that you put into this, I think it all comes to a head, and that's where Steve's at right now. I think for him, that's that satisfaction that all the hard work that he put in is finally here. I'm honored and privileged to present Steve McMichael for enshrinement in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Again, I got chills. I got chills listening to that, man, because it really does. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people like me, maybe in the same age range. I'm 44, so I was like 5-6 years old when the 85 Bears came around, and they were a sensation, man. Like, I don't know if I'm just being like an old man here and I'm like, they just don't make them like that anymore, or if it, but I look back on the 85 Bears and like, I can't think of any team, not just in Chicago, but any team that I can remember that like captured a moment and captured not just a city, but the nation the way that the 85 and the 80s Bears did. Like, they were a sensation across America, and like they spawned the most popular SNL sketch of those days. That doesn't happen with sports teams. They were like a pop culture phenomena. And there were a few guys on that team, obviously starting with Jim McMahon and Walter Payton, but there were just a lot of personalities on that team, man. And for me, I mean, okay, growing up, the guys that got the headlines and that were really cool were McMahon and were Payton. And I'll admit, I had a Jim McMahon, like, spiked mullet when I was a very little kid, and I wanted to be the punky QB. But as I got a little bit older, still like, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, and realized, oh, I'm not going to play quarterback. I'm a big back. I'm a big boy over here. They're gonna put me down on that line. They're gonna put me in a 3-point stance on one side of that line. Once I came to that realization at what is still a very early age, I wanted to be Steve McMichael, dude. I went from having the spiked mullet to just having a full head of long hair flowing out the back of the helmet. My first football jersey was number 76. And not, obviously at that age, I didn't know about stats. I couldn't even tell who was a really good player or not, but there was something about that dude that was just electric, that was magnetic, that drew people to him. I heard Spiegel a couple days ago when he and Parkins were talking about it, and he's not the first or only person to say this, but he kept saying he could own the room, he could control the room, and that's really what kind of drew me to that guy. I wanted to be that ball of fire out there on the football field that was always 100 miles an hour, that was everybody's best friend on the team. You wanted to be like Mongo McMichael. And then fast forward, oh, I don't know, 17, 18 years later, and I'm just starting my radio career. I'm a producer up at 1250 AM The Fan in Milwaukee, where I still do some work for the Score sister station. And for some reason, I don't know why, but when the Bears would play the Packers, there were two guys who we would call, and they were always willing to come on, and one was Mike Ditka, and he was always very Ditka-like on the phone when I would call him to come on the show. Like it was like very short, and it didn't seem like he was real happy to hear from you or to do it, but he was going to do it. But Mongo, man, and I did, after the first time we hung up with him on the air, and as a producer, you pick up the phone and say, hey, thanks for coming on, blah, blah, blah. I picked it up, and I just told him like a sort of a condensed version of what I told you guys. And from then on, I never had a personal relationship with Steve McMichael, but every time I'd call him to come on the show, he would always treat me like he knew me. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. I'm not trying to like inflate or overblow my relationship or connection to Steve McMichael, but that's just the type of dude who he was.
Yeah, Rami. I apologize for jumping in. I had a similar situation. I worked in Iowa before coming to Chicago. And him and Dan Hampton were doing a gig at Riverside Casino just south of Iowa City, small town in Iowa. And Steve McMichael walks into this room, holds court just like he would in Chicago or Milwaukee or anywhere that he was. And like you said, and like a lot of people were bringing up, have brought up, he controlled whatever room he walked into.
Yes.
That is
owned it.
That is not hyperbolic. That is. Anybody who ever met or had an interaction with him would tell you exactly the same thing.
Yep. And every, like I said, every time I'd call him to come on the show, and then later on I became a host and I got to interview him, I don't know, it was maybe once or twice, like talk to him about Bears and Packers and whatever was going on at the time. He made you feel like he knew you, like you were buds. It was all, hey, baby, hey, buddy, yeah, let's do this. Like, he was so excited to come on this stupid radio show in Milwaukee and talk Bears Packers and own that show for a minute, the way that he owns a room when he walks into it. He was just that type of personality, man, and it was very, very cool to finally see him get this recognition and this appreciation. And on top of the personality, man, just the stats, when you look at, I don't have it here in front of me, I should, it's very unprofessional of me, but Alex, do you know how many consecutive games played he had? I heard Parkins and Spiegel talking about it the other day, and I was just like, oh my God, at that position, and he had eight different surgeries throughout his NFL career, to just be
191.
There. 191. 191. Dude, that's like, I don't know, 15 straight years in the NFL. Just some quick rough math. That seems like
1981 to 1993.
Okay, so 12 years. I'm not known for my math. Dude, this guy played 12, 13 years, week in, week out, in between surgeries. And that, I heard Mike Singletary say, just the consistency and knowing you could count on that guy being there. This was the moment yesterday as a bunch of guys, a bunch of his former teammates made the trip down. Trace Armstrong, Gary Fensick, among others, and then They boarded a private plane from Akron to Canton, or from Akron Canton Airport, that arrived at Lewis University Airport, that had his fellow Hall of Famers, Bears Hall of Famers from that 85 team, Jimbo Covert, Richard Dent, Mike Singletary, Misty McMichael, his wife, Macy McMichael, his daughter, all gathered around his home there and revealed the bust that will now stand forever in Canton at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We got that, Alex? Oh, there it is.
Awesome. You gotta see the bus, baby. You ready? It's gonna be right here. Mace, help me pull it down. Let's go. Oh. Wow. Look at that. I told him, just make sure you have hair.
Hall of Famer.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's no respirator.
Way.
That's amazing. That's you, baby. Forever.
Steve, you're here with all your world champion brothers. Back in Canton, we have 378 brothers that's looking for you. You're on a team that you can never be cut from, you never can be released from. When you die on this team, you will still be on it.
Forever.
Welcome home, team. Welcome home, Steve, I should say.
Football heaven.
Forever. You're in football heaven.
Forever.
Forever. Forever.
Right,
much love, brother. Welcome home, brother.
Finally, baby. Finally. Thank you, guys. It's just been amazing, and I know he's happy. And you're gonna be in there forever, talking to them when the lights are out. Y'all talk to each other. I heard in the hall, the busts. That's amazing. We love you, baby. So proud of you. You look great. Your jacket fits you nice.
It does. Looks good.
Looks great.
Good gold.
Those were the voices of first Richard Dent, of course, his Hall of Fame teammate, and Misty McMichael, his wife. And I got tears in my eyes. I got chills right now. It was a very cool moment. The bust looks awesome. The hair is amazing. I was just in Canton. My first trip to the Pro Football Hall of Fame about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I might have to go back now just to see the Steve McMichael bust in there, because along with Kevin Green, two of the coolest looking busts and best heads of hair that you'll see up there in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But while you know, you're happy that he got his props, he got his flowers, he got his recognition and got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you can't help but be a little bit sad that he was in the state that he's in, being diagnosed with ALS in 2020, I believe, and not able to go to Canton and accept it and own the room in Canton among all his Hall of Fame teammates, the way we've been talking about him doing. You wish he could have got in sooner so that he could have enjoyed this a little bit more. But I was reading a piece in The Athletic from, let me just make sure I credit the right person. This was Dan Pompey, who obviously covered those Bears teams of the 80s. And he talked about just a feeling of peace. And for those who don't know the story, he had pneumonia a few months back and had a do not resuscitate order signed. And he basically told his wife through blinking and communicating the way that they do to tear that thing up so that he could see this day and see himself getting enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So you got to believe that while he can't express it the way that we all got used to and loved Mongo for expressing himself, there is at least a sense of peace there for that man after everything that he did for us as Bears fans, as football fans, and all the hard work that he put in to get where he got to get this moment. Better late than never, you know what I mean? And just a really, really good dude. Quick text from the 708 says, "My son and I met Mongo at a baseball card shop years ago. I thought he might be kind of a jerk with his macho act, but he turned out to be one of the nicest and accommodating players I've ever met. He was great with my son and all of the children there. A real gem." And I think there are probably hundreds of thousands of people who have a similar experience, because he just made everybody feel like he loved them and like they were his best friend, and tried to give them the best Mongo experience that he could give them. We'll talk more about Steve McMichael and all the Bears festivities at the Pro Football Hall of Fame yesterday. Howard Balzer, who's a Pro Football Hall of Fame elector, hosts a Hall of Fame show on SiriusXM.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
NFL Radio. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, on The Score right after this.
To the great Coach Lovie Smith. Thank you for believing in me and putting your money on a return game. I hope we made every critic bite their tongue.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Another very cool moment, and a moment filled with cool, or a day filled with cool moments for Bears fans in Canton yesterday, as three guys who donned the orange and blue donned the orange jackets yesterday. I am Rami Makhlouf with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We'll talk with Bruce Levine, a little baseball with our Score Baseball Insider coming up at 1 o'clock. But joining me now is a Hall of Fame selector himself, co-host of the weekly Hall of Fame radio show on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Pleasure to welcome in Howard Balzer. Howard, how are you this afternoon, man?
Doing very well. Hope you are too.
I am. It was cool to see all the love for the Bears yesterday, and we just heard from Devin Hester. We'll get into that in a little bit. Julius Peppers, but the guy who a lot of people around here have been talking about leading up to the ceremonies and since yesterday is Steve McMichael. And it was great to see him get in. I was saying before the break, it would have been cool to see him get in sooner and see him sort of, you know, conduct, own a room the way that Steve McMichael does. I'm not a guy who gets into the selection process or criticizes it in any way, shape, or form. And I'm not here to question you about it, but he went 20 years as a modern era candidate, did not get in, another 4 years as a senior candidate. Is there, in your opinion, as one of the selectors, some kind of flaw in the process that lets a Steve McMichael sort of slip through the cracks for as long as he did?
There's so many guys that slip through those cracks, like you said, and I don't know if flaw is the right word. I mean, it's nothing that you can say, well, this is
sure
why it happened, so let's correct it. I mean, it's just something that happens. I mean, heck, last year, Joe Klecko went in as a seniors candidate and had obviously not gone in before and was never a finalist when he was in his modern day eligibility. But I don't want to spend the main thing is a lot of it's just a kind of a result of math, simple math when you think of it. And you have 15 finalists each year. Now, we never know how many votes somebody missed by who didn't get to be a finalist, but then five guys get in, 10 don't. They return the next year, and so as finalists most of the time, unless someone moves on to the seniors committee, and then you only have five other spots. And many times those are taken up by first-time eligible guys. And that's kind of the reality of it. And then when someone isn't there for a few years, all of a sudden it starts stacking on itself. I mean, last few years, Leroy Butler of the Packers, I know Bears fans probably don't want to hear me talk about, you know, a Packers player, but he wasn't even a semifinalist, which is the top 25 for like the first 14, 15 years of his eligibility. And then he finally got some traction and got in. So it's unfortunately, it's just one of those products of the system that I don't know that there is a way to correct it. Now, I'll say this. I floated an idea that wasn't met with a lot of support. Some loved it. I floated an idea that add a spot or two each year to the enshrinement class for if first-time eligibles get in. So if all of a sudden you have one first-time eligible in, take, you know, another five guys instead of another four. Mm-hmm. If there's two first-time eligibles, then take, you know, take another five instead of three in that instance. I mean, there's been years where there was three first-time eligibles get elected, and that means only two guys get it. So I would stop at two. It wasn't met with a lot of excitement, so to speak, but I think that would kind of relieve the logjam, because the other thing that happens, quite frankly, is that when so many guys return year after year, new guys don't enter it. And then you have a situation, maybe with McMichael, where there's, and it's happened with other teams, with the Cowboys, with the Steelers, with the Packers, where there's so many other guys getting into the Hall of Fame that it becomes a point, well, gosh, you know, how many of these guys are really Hall of Famers? And, I mean, heck, it took Jerry Kramer of the Packers, I think, close to 50 years after he played his final game to get into the Hall of Fame. So I think all those things is what happens, and it's unfortunate for those guys who have to wait and then wait to be a senior, and then even that's a tough process to get in. So it's like I said, it's really difficult. I don't see it as a flaw. I just think it an unfortunate reality of just the way it all, you know, the way it all works out.
Do you think he was maybe a little bit overshadowed too with some of the, I mean, you just look at right there on the defensive line with him, you had Richard Dent and Dan Hampton, Mike Singletary. You also had Walter Payton on that team. And Jimbo Covert is a Hall of Famer. Is there a point where voters just go, How many of these guys are we going to put in? And obviously the guys with the stats and who play the sexier positions are going to get in before a guy like McMichael who sort of did the dirty work for those teams.
No, I think it's a great point. And I think it's not something that we say when we talk about this, but you have to wonder if it's in the back of, you know, some people's minds. I mean, when you have all those guys, you look at the Steelers and Donnie Shell, a great safety, he didn't get in after all those years until the centennial class of 2020 when there was extra seniors put in. And so, but I think it is, you know, possibly a part of it that you do get overshadowed by other guys, especially if it's at the same position. Now, I know McMichael didn't play the same position as Richard Dent, but you're on that defensive line. So you have two guys that are in, and so there might be someone who say, well, gosh, could a third guy be a Hall of Famer? I mean, that's the elite of the elite. And I think that could be, you know, that's certainly a possibility as part of, I don't think it should matter, but I can't speak for all the other people who vote and get inside their heads. But those things don't get talked about in the meeting. I'll say that absolutely.
Talking with Howard Balzer, a Hall of Fame selector and a host, co-host of the weekly Hall of Fame radio show on SiriusXM NFL Radio. The last time you were on the Score, I heard you, and you're talking about the thought process of weighing Devin Hester's Hall of Fame candidacy. How do you think he was able to get over the top and get in this year?
I think it was clear that when he became became a finalist right outside the box, and then waited a couple years after that, that this was going to happen eventually. And it's just the numbers scream that if you're going to put in a kick returner, that's the guy. Even though, you know, he mentioned Brian Mitchell in his speech. He mentioned Josh Cribbs. I could go back way before that and, you know, remember Billy White Shoes Johnson, you know, guys who were just, you know, tremendous kick returners. But with his numbers, it just was glaring in terms of what he accomplished during his career. And so once he became that finalist for several years, it was just a matter of time. But it's always tough. It's always tough when you're picking a guy as much of an impact that they have on the game. It's not for a lot of plays in a game. Now, I know the argument is, well, you know, it affects field position, and it does. It affects all those things. But when it comes down to considering guys that are on the field virtually every down, whether it's offense, whether it's defense, whatever it might be, it's tough to wrap your arms around sometimes a special teams guy. But like I said, those touchdowns and that game-breaking ability that he consistently had, I think, you know, was the thing that got his candidacy rolling, and then this just worked out to be the year that it happened.
I know they're trying to bring back the kickoff with these new rules. We haven't had a dynamic kickoff returner since they changed the rules shortly after Devin Hester's time in the NFL and doing what he did for the Bears. Do you think his nomination opens things up for future special teams players, or is this a one-off?
It could be a one-off. You know, we'll have to see. We'll see what develops from this kickoff return rule. And if there is someone that really cements themselves as, you know, as a guy who's a game breaker, I know the Cordarrelle Patterson has been a guy, even with the change in rules, has been able to, you know, have some big returns here and there. But it became awful tough when, like last year, when there was only 20% of the kickoffs returned in the entire league. So we'll see how this plays out. I suspect, and my one concern about it is that a lot of teams, if you start getting some big returns, and even if they're not huge returns, even if you're getting to the 40, 45-yard line, some teams are going to say, we're going to bang it in the end zone anyway and take our chances with putting the ball at the 30 instead of the 25. I thought that they should have put it up more, make it to 35, and who knows, that might still happen. But, you know, we'll wait and see. But it's going to take, though, I would say, you know, someone with just obvious singular ability that is just consistent. And that's the other thing. We'll see a kickoff returner come in and do it over, you know, a couple seasons or whatever, and then it flames out. But you have to do it over, you know, over several, at least several seasons and more, to rack up those kind of numbers that Hester did during his career.
I know we've only seen it for one game, so it's hard to sort of speculate. But what do you think Devin Hester would do with these new kickoff rules that the NFL has now?
Yeah, it's a great question, because we're going to see how this all plays out with the blocking schemes. And obviously all those guys, you know, all the guys on defense are a lot closer. And The cover teams, they're going to come up with schemes of, you know, making – because, heck, a lot of times great returns in the NFL would happen when some young guy would get out of his lane and go somewhere where he shouldn't go, and all of a sudden you find a hole and, boom, you're gone. Well, it's going to be hard for guys to get out of their lanes when this compact – you know, things. So that could be tough to, you know, to break some. And I think some teams will start, you know, potentially when that ball is touched or lands, when it's caught or lands on the ground, they could have a couple guys on that line back up a little bit just to make sure that there's someone there if the kick returner breaks through. But I really wonder if they're, you know, I think they'll have good returns. I wonder how many really big returns they'll have because of guys being in position better to be able to make those plays on those returns.
Howard Balzer, Hall of Fame selector, co-host of the weekly Hall of Fame radio show on SiriusXM, my guest here on the Score. Julius Peppers, I got to admit, like, I'm a diehard Bears fan, lifelong Bears fan, and I loved Julius Peppers when he was with the Bears. I don't know that I necessarily associate him with the Bears as a Hall of Fame selector. What team? I know it's not like baseball where they put on the hat on the bus. What team would you put Julius Peppers in? If you were going to put a hat on him, what hat would go on Julius Peppers on his Hall of Fame bust?
It probably would be the Panthers, although he did have obviously really good years with the Bears, and he's an original Panther, basically. And so that's probably, and certainly that's the team he's most associated with, was the second overall choice in the draft that year. And you go back and remember, I recalled when, you know, the Lions were picking next, and a lot of people thought the Panthers were going to take Joey Harrington, the quarterback, with the second pick. And then they went with Peppers, and then Detroit took Harrington, and we saw what happened with his career. So obviously that was the right choice for the Panthers. But I think it's mostly the Panthers, and I think that he did well with the Bears because he wasn't with the Panthers for a tremendously long period of time. But guy was just overall a great football player, and I kind of like the way the NFL does it with that. Certainly you do have guys that play their whole career with one team, but if it's multiple teams, so be it. Guys move around, you know, a bunch in the NFL. But I think it's good that they just go in as a Hall of Famer. They don't have to put a cap or whatever it is on the plaque, you know, that they put in Cooperstown. Here you just do the bust, and that's the singular, you know, the singular representation of what each player was as a person and as a player.
You know, I always tell people, like, the people who aren't big football fans are like, why would you go to training camp? You're going to go watch these guys practice. And I always say, when you, especially, you know, the guys in the trenches, defensive and offensive linemen, when you get to see them up close is when you realize, like, what freakish athletes they are at the size that they are. And Julius Peppers is kind of the embodiment of that. I remember going to Bears training camp and seeing that guy do what he does up close against, you know, live competition or a tackling sled or whatever the case was. And it was like he was created in a lab to play football. Have you ever seen anyone, just a physical specimen that Julius Peppers was when he went out there on the football field?
I can't think of one as a pass rusher. You know, maybe Lawrence Taylor that would come to mind as a 3-4 outside linebacker. But it's funny you mentioned the size, because I do a show each year for Sirius right after NFL Honors, and all the players are introduced, and then they bring them back to us, and we have a few minutes to talk with them. And so they brought in both Julius Peppers and Dwight Freeney at the same time, and they're sitting next to each other for this quick interview. And Peppers 6'7", Freeney 6'1", and granted, they're not standing for the interview, but he dwarfs Dwight Freeney. And I made a comment about it, and I said to Freeney, I said, man, look at this guy. I mean, there's something wrong with this picture. And Freeney laughed, and he said, well, you know, I didn't have the God-given gifts that Julius Peppers did, and so I had to come up with other ways to be able to do what I did. And he certainly did that with the spin move and all that. But, yeah, the physical specimen is just amazing. And this is a guy, you know, he did a shout-out to Michael Jordan yesterday, but a lot of people forget that he played basketball. He told in an interview I did before the enshrinement, he was saying basketball was my first love. I love basketball, and not only did he play throughout his young life, but he also played basketball at North Carolina when he was there, in addition to football. And then he had a great line though. He said, "But I think that football basically found me. But what it found was a guy that would be a top pick in the NFL draft." And he admitted and said, if I had gone on and played, you know, in the NBA, I might have been able to play and been successful, but I wouldn't have been anything close to a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's not a shabby basketball program either there in North Carolina.
Exactly.
That he was playing, pretty good basketball program that they got there. Howard Balzer of the Hall of Fame radio show on SiriusXM NFL Radio, my guest for a few more minutes here. Let's talk about these current Bears. I don't know if you're ready to declare anybody on there a Hall of Famer, especially a rookie quarterback, but what is the outlook for Caleb Williams? People are pretty fired up around Chicago about their new QB.
Well, the guy definitely has the talent. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I do know that, you know, some of the things that cropped up in his college career, there were some that wondered about, and how will he handle adversity? That's the big, and I think most would agree, he didn't handle it in certain cases that well last season at USC. And so that really is that's the divider. That's the separator, not only of quarterbacks, but of a lot of players when they get to the NFL. But certainly front and center for quarterbacks, because you're going to have adversity. You're going to have those tough times and those tough days and those tough games, whatever it might be. And how do you bounce back from that? He certainly has the athletic ability to play the position. But you also will say, and I think I like what the Bears did with the addition of, you know, Odunze in the first round. No matter how talented you are, you better have players around you. I mean, we all, I shouldn't say we all, but it's so often that we talk about the quarterback. Well, he won or he lost. Well, the team lost. The team won. And I don't know, you can name too many quarterbacks that don't have good players around them, not to mention a great, you know, at least maybe not a great, but at least a very good offensive line that are going to be able to run that offense and be successful consistently and make the big plays at big times in games, on third down, in the red zone, in the fourth quarter. And that's what he's got to prove he can do. And so if he does and he has a long career, he could get into that conversation as a Hall of Famer one day. But it's a long way away from that. And obviously we have seen many instances of quarterbacks that come into this league and for whatever different reason it was, don't live up to that draft status or the expectations that were heaped upon them.
As a team, and I think folks got to remember that it is a rookie quarterback for all the hype and everything that comes with Caleb Williams as a team. And I'm not pegging you to a prediction. I'm not going to pull this up later and freezing cold takes you later, Howard. But what's a realistic expectation in terms of wins and losses for a football team that had 7 wins last year and has the number one pick in the draft, but still a rookie quarterback coming into this year?
And I think what really leads to the expectation is when you have a C.J. Stroud who comes onto a team last year, and the Texans were a lot worse the season before than the Bears were last year. And then any team that has a rookie quarterback says, well, our guy should do as good as C.J. Stroud. Well, it doesn't work that way. Sometimes it does, but you can't expect it. But I would think that, you know, with the team around and with all those other things I talked about, the defense is pretty solid. You know, the division, certainly the Lions are the team to beat. The Packers are pretty good. The Vikings, who knows about, because, you know, whatever their quarterback situation is going to end up being when the season begins. But, you know, I've always looked at this league in a lot of situations and say, you know, it's kind of like that old bell curve that people talked about when you were graded on tests and stuff in school. It was a certain amount at the bottom on either side, and then there's this big bunch right in the middle. And that's essentially the NFL. There's going to be a few teams that at the bottom, a few teams at the top, and then in the middle are all these teams that could win 7, 8, 9 games, maybe, you know, maybe 10. There's not that much difference in this league with the, as close games are, between 7 and 10 wins. There just aren't. You can think if you're 7 and 10, well, if you won one or two of those games you lost, all of a sudden you're in the playoff hunt. Same with you win 10. If you look a couple close games, you lose instead of win, all of a sudden you're only maybe a 6 or a 7 win team. So what I'm saying is I think the Bears should be in that group that can compete. And here's the key. If you're around 500 when you get to December and there's 5, 6 games left, whatever it is, you're in the hunt at that point. And if you can finish strong, then, hey, you could get into the postseason. So I'm not ruling it out. I think the Bears could be in that group of teams that will be in that competition for it. But so much depends on all the other things we talked about, trying to stay as injury-free as you can. That's a tremendous factor in the NFL when you only have 17 games. So, but they definitely should be competitive, and it all depends on the whole team, not just the one guy.
That's Howard Balzer, Hall of Fame selector, co-host of the weekly Hall of Fame radio show on Sirius XM NFL Radio. And you can follow him on Twitter as well at HBalzer721. Excuse me. Howard, really appreciate the time and the insight this afternoon, man. Have a great day.
Same to you. My pleasure. Anytime. Take care.
And he joins me on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. I wanted to get into the premiere of Hard Knocks tonight with Howard, but we just ran out of time. But speaking of Hard Knocks, you can join Parkins and Spiegel this Tuesday from 2 to 6 p.m. at The Wall in Marcus Gurney Cinema to register to win prizes and tickets and enjoy specials on food and beverages all day. Then at 8 p.m., enjoy the premiere of Hard Knocks on The Wall's big screen. Admission is always free At the Wall. That's this Tuesday, 2 to 6. Join Parkins and Spiegel and stick around afterwards and watch Hard Knocks. And again, it's free. That's always the best-selling point. Free! We'll hit a quick break. We are going to get into some baseball with Bruce Levine, Score Baseball Insider, coming up at 1 o'clock. But wanted to give a little bit more love, a little bit more shine for the other two Hall of Famers. We talked about Steve McMichael, but Devin Hester and Julius Peppers went in yesterday. If you missed the ceremony, we'll play you some highlights and talk about those two guys right after this. Rami Makhlouf with you on The Score on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it's a pleasure and it's an honor. You know, as a Hall of Famer, you know, it's whenever you get in, either it's your first year or your last year or 20 years from now, you know what I mean? When I talk to a lot of guys that waited 15, 20 years, it's always like the first, you know what I mean? So I'm so, just right now, so honored. You know, it's only 378 players in the entire world that played football that was able to say that they're a Hall of Famer. So I'm just honored right now to be one of those guys.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's Bears Now Hall of Fame returner Devin Hester on with the guys Mullion Hall right here on 670 The Score. You can hear that entire interview over there on the Odyssey app. Just go and search for The Score, search for Mullion Hall, and you'll find that Devin Hester interview. He was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame yesterday, along with fellow Bears Steve McMichael and Julius Peppers. And he's just one of, I said the, kind of a similar thing about Julius Peppers in the last segment with Howard Balzer, but in a completely different sense. He's another one of those guys who's just kind of a freak of nature, just kind of, he was almost, seems like he was made in a lab to return kicks with just his speed and everything else. And he always seemed to me like one of those guys, I think we all know people like this growing up, or we see him from a distance, who like, any athletic feat whatsoever, they can just like see somebody do it once, and then they can just have that in their genes to just like. I remember hearing Anthony Edwards talk about in high school was the first time he picked up a basketball or took basketball serious, and he saw somebody dunk, and he was like, "Oh, I wonder if I can do that." And he just picked up a basketball and started dunking on fools. Like, Devin Hester always came off to me as one of those guys. And he kind of confirmed that in his Hall of Fame speech yesterday, talking about like the first time, every time he got a chance to, he would do something special on the first play.
I want to thank the Hall of Fame for making me the first returner to ever wear this gold jacket. And I want to congratulate everyone in the 2024 class for being here. I'm proud and honored to be up here with you guys. I fell in love with football back when I first started playing two-hand touch in the street. And as kids, we couldn't kick the ball that far, so we would throw it off high and make it look like a kickoff. And every time they would throw the ball off high, out of 10 times, I would take about 7 of them back. I felt like football chose me, from Pop Warner to high school to college to the NFL. The first play of every game, I always did something special. My first carry in high school football, I took a 22-yard handoff for a touchdown. And when I got to college, first time playing in an Orange Bowl, the first play of the game, I took a 97-yard kickoff return back for a touchdown against the Florida Gators. Every glimpse of me trying to go to the next level, it would always happen on the first play. It was a sign that let me know that football was meant for me. I love this game more than I can say. And more so, it loved me back.
That's crazy. Just every time he would just walk into a different level of the sport and just first play, give me that. I'm going to go take this thing to the house. That's just, he was just that special of an athlete, man. And I get why he didn't get in on the first ballot. Like, it's hard for any special teamer to do that, but man, when you're just the greatest of all time at anything that you do, I think it's a no-brainer that you should be in the Hall of Fame. And he changed things. He changed things for those Lovie Smith teams, man, that never had great offenses, and he was instant offense himself. And obviously having great field position would help an offense that wasn't so high-powered. He was absolutely a force out there on the football field. We got our first glimpse in the Hall of Fame game between the Bears and the Texans of that new kickoff rule that they have now. Again, this was him with Mullion Hall earlier in the week talking about what he would do with these new rules.
I feel like the new rule is really going to force
the return game, bring it back to life. And so it's a way to bring back special team. It's a way to bring back the returners that kind of got shadowed and overlooked because of the new rule. Of course, y'all know the rule was put in because of me. So
that's right.
Now it allows return to get their hands on the ball. So I'm hoping that we can bring back this return game, which was a big exciting part of the game.
Yeah, man. He I think maybe not with the rules that they've had the last few years, but I think with almost any rule, Devin Hester is going to be a way to find a way to be a special player out there on the football field and in the return game. He was just unstoppable, man. He was just absolutely 100% unstoppable. Alex, if I could real quick, I just wanted to we have to move Bruce Levine to 120. I'm just going to go a little bit later, if that's cool, and play a couple of Julius Peppers clips. First of all, you will endear yourself to Chicago by calling out the GOAT of all GOATs, and that's Michael Jordan, and Julius Peppers knew how to play the crowd yesterday.
And this ain't in my speech, but I'm going to say it anyway. While I'm talking about Chapel Hill and North Carolina, and I know this is the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I ain't going to sit up here and act like my idol and one of the reasons that I went to Chapel Hill is not in the building. The GOAT, His Airness, Michael Jordan, MJ, I want to thank you for the inspiration and the memories. Love you, big bro.
You know, I never connected those dots of Julius Peppers from North Carolina. Then obviously he plays for the Panthers, but then eventually ending up in Chicago, he obviously looked up to Michael Jordan, and it was probably appealing to him to come and play in the city where Michael Jordan left so much of an impression and so much of an imprint on the sports scene that he probably watched that as a kid and he was like, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. That seems like a city that is pretty good to their athletes. And it turns out, as he told us, Chicago was pretty good to him.
To the city and the fans of Chicago, I know you guys didn't draft me, but when I came there, you treated me like I was one of your own, and I appreciate that. So it's always bear down.
And he did shout out the Packers after that, but we don't need to play that because screw those guys. Am I right? And he actually, Julius Peppers, I don't know how many of you remember this, he continued to be a Bears operative after he left Chicago for Green Bay in the NFC Championship. I forget who the cornerback was, but against the Seahawks, there was an interception. Packers were up big. I don't remember the exact score. And Julius Peppers gave him the old go down sign, even though there was plenty of time left in the football game. And of course, the Seahawks came back to win that game and not let the Packers go to the Super Bowl. And as Bears fans, we appreciate that as well. So Julius Peppers, a Bears legend in more ways than one. And Michael Jordan continues to have a positive impact on the Chicago sports scene years and years after he left. Like I said, we'll have to talk with Bruce Levine, our Score Baseball insider, coming up at 1:20. That just leaves more time right now for Bears Talk. And you can get in on it at 312-644-6767. Shoot me a text or give me a call. We've talked about Bears of past. We'll talk about these current Bears and just how much of them you want to see this preseason. And are you getting a little carried away? Because I might be. That's coming up next.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Highlights and talk about those two guys right after this. Rami Makhlouf with you on The Score on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it's a pleasure and it's an honor. You know, as a Hall of Famer, you know, it's whenever you get in, it either it's your first year or your last year or 20 years from now. You know what I mean? When I talk to a lot of guys that waited 15, 20 years, it's always like the first. You know what I mean? So I'm so just right now so honored. You know, it's only 378 players in the entire world that played football that was able to say that they're a Hall of Famer. So I'm just honored right now to be one of those guys.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was Bears Now Hall of Fame returner Devin Hester on with the guys Mullion Hall right here on 670 The Score. You can hear that entire interview over there on the Odyssey app. Just go and search for The Score, search for Mullion Hall, and you'll find that Devin Hester interview. He was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame yesterday, along with fellow Bears Steve McMichael and Julius Peppers. And he's, man, he's just one of, I said the, kind of a similar thing about Julius Peppers in the last segment with Howard Balzer, but in a completely different sense. He's another one of those guys who's just kind of a freak of nature, just kind of, he was almost... seems like he was made in a lab to return kicks with just his speed and everything else. And he always seemed to me like one of those guys. I think we all know people like this growing up, or we see him from a distance, who like any athletic feat whatsoever, they can just like see somebody do it once. And then they can just, they just have that in their genes to just, like, I remember hearing Anthony Edwards talk about in high school was the first time he picked up a basketball or took basketball serious, and he saw somebody dunk and he was like, oh, I wonder if I can do that. And he just picked up a basketball and started dunking on fools. Like, Devin Hester always came off to me as one of those guys. And he kind of confirmed that in his Hall of Fame speech yesterday, talking about like the first time, every time he got a chance to, he would do something special on the first play.
I want to thank the Hall of Fame for making me the first returner to ever wear this gold jacket. And I want to congratulate everyone in the 2024 class for being here. I'm proud and honored to be up here with you guys. I fell in love with football back when I first started playing two-hand touch in the street. And as kids, we couldn't kick the ball that far, so we would throw it off high and make it look like a kickoff. And every time they would throw the ball off high, out of 10 times, I would take about 7 of them back. I felt like football chose me, from Pop Warner to high school to college to the NFL. The first play of every game, I always did something special. My first carry in high school football, I took a 22-yard handoff for a touchdown.
And when I got to college, first time playing in the Orange Bowl, the first play of the game, I took a 97-yard kickoff return back for a touchdown against the Florida Gators. Every glimpse of me trying to go to the next level, it would always happen on the first play. It was a sign that let me know that football was meant for me. I love this game more than I can say. And more so, it loved me back.
That's crazy. Just every time he would just walk into a different level of the sport and just first play, give me that, I'm going to go take this thing to the house. That's just, he was just that special of an athlete, man. And I get why he didn't get in on the first ballot. Like, it's hard for any special teamer to do that. But man, when you're just the greatest of all time at anything that you do, I think it's a no-brainer that you should be in the Hall of Fame. And he changed things. He changed things for those Lovie Smith teams, man, that never had great offenses. And he was instant offense himself. And obviously having great field position would help an offense that wasn't so high powered. He was absolutely a force out there on the football field. We got our first glimpse in the Hall of Fame game between the Bears and the Texans of that new kickoff rule that they have now. Again, this was in with Mullion Haw earlier in the week talking about what he would do with these new rules.
I feel like the new rule is really going to force the return game, bring it back to life. And so it's a way to bring back special team. It's a way to bring back the returners that kind of got shadowed and overlooked because of the new rule. Of course, y'all know the rule was put in because of me. So
that's right.
Now it allows return to get their hands on the ball. So I'm hoping that we can bring back this return game, which was a big exciting part of the game.
Yeah, man. He. I think maybe not with the rules that they've had the last few years. But I think with almost any rule, Devin Hester is going to be a way to find a way to be a special player out there on the football field and in the return game. He was just unstoppable, man. He was just absolutely 100% unstoppable. Alex, if I could real quick, I just wanted to we have to move Bruce Levine to 120. I'm just going to go a little bit later, if that's cool, and play a couple of Julius Peppers clips. First of all, you will endear yourself to Chicago by calling out the GOAT of all GOATs. And that's Michael Jordan. And Julius Peppers knew how to play the crowd yesterday.
And this ain't in my speech, but I'm going to say it anyway. While I'm talking about Chapel Hill and North Carolina, and I know this is the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I ain't going to sit up here and act like my idol and one of the reasons that I went to Chapel Hill is not in the building. The GOAT, His Airness, Michael Jordan. MJ, I want to thank you for the inspiration and the memories. Love you, big bro.
You know, I never connected those dots of Julius Peppers from North Carolina. Then obviously he plays for the Panthers, but then eventually ending up in Chicago. He obviously looked up to Michael Jordan, and it was probably appealing to him to come and play in the city where Michael Jordan left so much of an impression and so much of an imprint on the sports scene that he probably watched that as a kid. And he was like, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. That seems like a city that is pretty good to their athletes. And it turns out, as he told us, Chicago was pretty good to him.
To the city and the fans of Chicago, I know you guys didn't draft me, but when I came there, you treated me like I was one of your own, and I appreciate that. So it's always bear down.
And he did shout out the Packers after that, but we don't need to play that because screw those guys. Am I right? And he actually, Julius Peppers, I don't know how many of you remember this, he continued to be a Bears operative after he left Chicago for Green Bay in the NFC Championship. I forget who the cornerback was, but against the Seahawks, there was an interception. Packers were up big. I don't remember the exact score. And Julius Peppers gave him the old go down sign, even though there was plenty of time left in the football game. And of course, the Seahawks came back to win that game and not let the Packers go to the Super Bowl. And as Bears fans, we appreciate that as well. So Julius Peppers, a Bears a Bears legend in more ways than one, and Michael Jordan continues to have a positive impact on the Chicago sports scene years and years after he left. Like I said, we'll have to talk with Bruce Levine, our Score Baseball Insider, coming up at 1:20. That just leaves more time right now for Bears Talk, and you can get in on it at 312-644-6767. Shoot me a text or give me a call. We've talked about Bears of past. We'll talk about these current Bears and just how much you want them to, how much of them you want them to, you want to see this preseason. And are you getting a little carried away? Because I might be. That's coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.